And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So how are we holding up? Yeah, we're following all this breaking news. There's talking about the Summer Olympics could be postponed. Just all kinds of drama going on. Jay Inslee with a 5:30 press conference. We will carry it live here on 97.3 Cairo FM. He's going to announce new enhanced COVID-19 precautions. We don't know if he's going to tell people statewide to shelter in place, if he's going to close more non-essential businesses. But these are trying times. How are you holding up, Nicole, through all this? Sean, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing good today. I had some bad takeout on Friday night, so Saturday early morning was kind of rough for me, but once I got past that, once that got out of my system, I was good to go.
I know. That I talked to you this weekend. You told me about that, and that had to be a little scary. The last thing you need is some kind of stomach eruption.
Right?
There's some mystery virus going on out there.
I know.
There.
It was very clear what was happening. It was fairly immediate, and none of the symptoms that are going along with coronavirus came with it, but it was
I'm so torn on the takeout. I'm really torn on it because I know that I want to support local businesses, and restaurants are just struggling to get by and trying to keep jobs going by offering the takeout. But I don't want other people touching my food right now, even though the CDC, everybody, they've said you cannot transmit it via food. But I'm having a tough time getting past that right now.
They're taking a lot of precautions. I'm seeing precautions being taken at restaurants. And, you know, when I picked up my food, I couldn't pass a certain line. And she didn't let anybody come within 6 feet of each other. And she set it on the table and then walked away for me to grab it. And, you know, I mean, you just got to be careful.
I know, but I was going to ask our listener, I wonder if anybody else is having that same tug right now, because yes, I would love to help local businesses and patronize them, but send me a text, 98973. I'm just curious if other people are as reluctant as I, and I'm not, I guess I am a little bit of a germaphobe, but
well, this has made you one. I don't think you were before this.
Yeah, I was a little bit. I mean, I was, you know, I talked about how I went when I went salmon fishing up in Sitka with Brock and Captain Tom, and they had this big, you know, Costco container of mixed nuts, and they have these black rubber gloves that fishermen use, and you put them on, you use them when you're baiting the line, baiting the hook, and you use it for a lot of stuff. So we're sitting in the front of the boat. Brock and Captain Tom are still wearing their black plastic gloves, and they're passing the nut. I'm sitting in between them, and they're passing the nuts, and they're putting the glove in, and I'd just seen them baiting hooks.
Yeah, that's not germs. That's disgusting fish gunk.
No, there are guys who don't have any problem, and I don't know, maybe there's some women too, but there are guys who have no problem with putting gloved hands in mixed nuts. That doesn't sound right.
Yes.
Anyway,
that's different, though.
Even when we're not in a health crisis, and they were handing it to me, and they, nuts? And, no, thank you. What, you don't like nuts? And no, I just couldn't get myself to partake. And besides, can I just, this is a reminder for everybody. We never should put our hands in any container of food. If it's out in the newsroom table or anywhere, you know, in the movie theater, don't put your hand in the bucket of popcorn. You tip the bucket into your open hand, and we should all do that all the time and never put our hands into buckets or containers of food.
I agree. And I do think that there is going to be something that comes out of this along the lines of we share less germs moving forward.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if I'll keep washing my hands because I'm just a maniac right now. And then the other thing on a much more serious note, it's just really sad and hard to digest what people are going through economically, you know, aside from the health impact. But, you know, I just saw the mayor of, I think it was Snoqualmie, has tested positive for COVID-19. I just saw that alert a few minutes ago. But, you know, besides the health impact, just what so many people are going through economically, this is just heartbreaking right now, and it's going to get worse. I mean, that's the sad part about this is we all know that it's going to get worse and before it gets better. We'll find out at 5:30 this afternoon what Jay Inslee has in store for us next, but he's got to be more decisive. I was very supportive of him a couple of weeks ago, but Jay Inslee cannot keep doing this little piecemeal, one day we're doing this and the next day we're doing that, because every day you delay is another day that's going to take for us to get past this. So we'll see what he announces at 5:30 this afternoon.
I'm just done with his, you know, mean dad shaming that he keeps doing. I don't understand that tactic that he's using.
Yeah, he's going on Twitter and he's telling people that are at Alki to just stop it and, you know, knock it off. Yeah, either don't allow it or don't be surprised when people, and you know, like the spring break audio I played last hour. And by the way, a bunch of those spring breakers, not the ones necessarily who were in the audio clip, but a bunch of spring breakers in Florida have tested positive. But again, if you're young and healthy, you're probably not going to suffer any horrible consequences, but you then become a carrier. And you saw all these people at Alki this weekend in Seattle, and they're all packed together, and and I understand when you're young, you're invincible and you don't have a great sense of the world beyond the tip of your nose. And I know I was certainly like that when I was that age and when I was in college. But this is something we've got to get into people's brains. And I am for less government than almost anybody. But we need a cohesive plan and we need it now.
I think that we're past disagreeing on how it's going to be handled. And that's what I keep telling people that tend to disagree with everything that's going on. I just say, I think we're past it. It's not an if or when, it's a just deal with it because this is reality right now.
Well, it's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's what I was saying Thursday and Friday is we know that the shelter in place is coming. So you should have done it late last week. Mm-hmm. Okay. To help us get through all of this, at least we have celebrities, man, did they step up for the world over the weekend. This might be the most tone-deaf thing I've ever seen in my entire life. So a model and actress named Gal Gadot, she decided to contact all of her celebrity friends, and she asked them to all sing the John Lennon song Imagine. And then she edited it together and sent it out on Insta. And she did this to make the world feel better.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
No hell below us.
Above us only sky.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough. That's enough.
It is brutal.
It's brutal. Some of the Sia, Natalie Portman, Jimmy Fallon, Will Ferrell, Nora Jones, they're all among Sarah Silverman, lots of others who are part of that. First of all, Imagine is the most detestable song ever written. I cannot think of a song that I despise more than Imagine. All John Lennon did was he took the Communist Manifesto and he set it to music. And then you have all these celebrities and they are sitting at home in their Beverly Hills mansions doing little selfie videos of them singing Imagine, and they're singing lines like, imagine no possessions. And behind, you know, they're in the middle of an 8,000 square foot mansion. I've never seen such a tone deaf group of individuals. And this is why so many people hate the world of celebrity. There are certain celebrities who are likable, but in mass, the world of celebrity is just as self-indulgent and as detestable and as tone-deaf. When you're singing your communist manifesto from your mansions, why don't you open up your homes? Since you got 8,000 square feet, why don't you live in just 1,000 and open up your homes to all the people who you know, can imagine a world with no possessions? Because they don't have any. And you can share yours with them, Jimmy Fallon. Gal Gadot. And then there was this one. You and I disagreed on this last night,
yes,
Nicole.
We do.
But I've come around to your way of thinking.
Okay.
I think this one is fairly innocuous. Neil Diamond has changed the lyrics to his most famous song to deal with COVID-19.
Hi everybody. This is Neil Diamond. And I know we're going through a rough time right now. But I love you, and I think maybe if we sing together, well, we'll yeah. just feel a little bit better. Give it a try, okay?
Okay.
Here it began.
This is
begin to know it.
Probably the most famous piano bar song there is. This and Billy Joel's Piano Man.
Was in the spring.
And one thing you got to give Neil Diamond credit for, everybody knows this song, no matter what their age. I saw a 12-year-old singing this in piano bars last summer. Here's where he changed the words.
Washing hands, reaching out. Don't touch me, I won't touch you.
Okay,
that is way better than all of the other washing hands songs that I've heard.
Yeah, it's
way
fine.
Better.
Yeah, that one's fine.
And
yeah,
remember,
yeah,
he is not touring anymore because he had to retire and has Parkinson's and put yeah. on a ball cap and sang for us. I like it. And my
and
grandma
I,
liked it
I will
a lot.
Say, it is to have a song like I was talking about. There are a few songs. Journeys, Don't Stop Believing. Every 10-year-old. Every 16-year-old, every 25-year-old, every person knows that song. And Neil Diamond's song, Sweet Caroline, is like that. And there are only a couple of others that everybody of every age seems to know. Like Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer.
Baby
oh, by the way,
back.
Did you see that? yeah, Baby Got Back, sure. No, I don't know that one. But did you see the Bon Jovi thing? You should find the audio for us for that.
Okay, I'm on it.
I guess there's some move in Chicago to get the entire city to sing Living on a Prayer at the same time from their home confinement. And I just saw a clip while I was on the air of John Bon Jovi. Looks like he is all behind that. So anyway, Neil Diamond, he's okay. The celebrities who sing the Commie Manifesto, they are disgusting, repulsive individuals. And then one other bit of celeb
on
news
a warm
for you.
Summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took
great turns. Kenny Rogers, 81 years old. Yeah, he had some creepy songs, too. Coward of the County, we went through that a few months ago. But Kenny Rogers passed away this weekend at the age of 81.
I was really sad
I'll tell
about
you
this.
Something.
He is such a nice guy, and I have seen him in concert. I think I met him, and he's just such a nice guy, funny. I love his sense of humor because, I mean, he was practically plastic and had such a fun sense of humor about it.
Well, and that song there, you know how we've talked about few things, scent, the smells are the most powerfully evocative. You know, you smell something, you can be transported back in time. Music, for me at least, is a close second. And that Kenny Rogers song, Gambler, this is probably a story I shouldn't take the time to tell. But when I was an aimless little 17-year-old, I thought I was going to be a professional gambler, and I went down to Lake Tahoe to play in the U.S. Open backgammon tournament when I was 17. So, and I was just walking around, and I was kind of by myself down there in this huge, it was the Hyatt Lake Tahoe. And I'm walking around, there's a bar band, and they played The Gambler every fourth or fifth song, but I couldn't go into the casino, so I had to walk around the perimeter. So I was just doing laps, and I heard this bar band. It seems like they were always playing Gambler. And as I was walking around, I started doing some dreaming about my future. And I was thinking, is this really what I want? Do I want to be hanging out in casinos when I'm 21 and 30 and 40 and 60? And I remember I spent a lot of that time. I was like, I got to meet a nice woman. And the person I was envisioning, it wasn't going to happen there. No, I could have bought a nice woman there. Oh. But there's a lot of that going on down there in those days. Believe me.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
In those days, so, I'm pretty sure that's still going on.
Yeah, but anyways, that's I always think about really, that when I hear about Kenny Rogers.
Really quick, I just have to play a little bit of my favorite song of his.
It
requires a dedication. Oh, see, this one takes me back to high school.
Is this Islands in the Stream?
Yes, and obviously I was in high school when it came out, but a friend and I used to replay this.
Yeah. I'm not with you on this one. I'm sorry.
I think the audience would be on my side. I don't know.
98973. Oh, wait. Do we want one more celebrity here? Madonna was naked in a bathtub, and she decided to give us some Corona advice as well. So since this is kind of the celeb segment, here's a little bit of Madonna's advice to all of us. And again, you got to picture this. She is naked as a jaybird. She's got her knees pulled up so you can't see, you know, some things. But she's naked in her bathtub. And here's Madonna's COVID-19 advice.
That's the thing about COVID-19. It doesn't care about...
Yeah, okay, that's all. That's all I can stomach. All right, and that there is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, so the governor did say to help people out during this health crisis, he's not going to allow any evictions. But I had a woman contact me over the weekend. They have somebody who's months behind on rent. They got a court order for her eviction before anybody had heard of COVID-19. And now that non-paying renter has to stay. And this landlord that I'm going to talk to is out the money. We'll hear her story next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, we've heard about all of the people who've been so economically affected by this COVID virus. Certainly, it's the people that are out of work, the business owners who don't know if they're going to be able to survive. And then you have all the people who are not paying rent right now. And of course, as part of their COVID response, the state announced a statewide ban on evictions. But are some people using that ban on evictions to just game the system? I got an email from listener Jennifer over the weekend, and her situation is one I wanted you to know about. So Jennifer joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Jennifer, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you. I appreciate you getting back to us.
Yeah, well, let me just sum up what was in the email that you sent me. You have a tenant who has not paid any rent in over 3 months. You had already scheduled them to be evicted on the 23rd of this month, but because of the ban on evictions, you can't do that. Even though them not paying rent, long predated the COVID virus and has nothing to do with the COVID virus. Is all that correct?
That is correct.
So tell me about this. So first of all, what kind of rental is this?
So we have a mobile home we are renting on Camino Island. We have a tenant that wasn't always up to date on her payments. Over the holidays, I know it's hard, so we were kind of a little bit more lax on getting her evicted right away because she has a family. We're trying to be considerate about it. But we gave her a 14-day pay or vacate notice in January, and it took 2 months to go through the court systems. We got the unlawful detainer served. The judge served her with a default judgment, meaning that we have the right to evict her. And today, actually, at 2 o'clock, we were supposed to have sheriffs out there to remove her from the premises. But last, I think, Thursday, we got a phone call saying that they were not allowed to go out and evict our tenant.
So, as I said, all of the problems, all of the late rent or non-payment of rent, all of that was before any of us had heard of COVID-19. Is that right?
That is correct. The judgment was before even, I think, the first virus in Washington. Like,
sure. Okay. So now they're telling you, and what kind of and because I feel for everybody who's suffering financial hardship, but what does this do for you as a landlord financially?
So first of all, we've had 3 months that we haven't been able to get rent. So that's 3 months of back rent that we have been coupling our mortgage, because we have a house too, and then our rental, as well as this next month. We don't even know if we have to go and do the whole court process again. So it could be next month or the next 3 months to go through this process again. We've been trying to contact different courts and trying to figure out who has information or who we can contact to even know what direction to take. But no one is no one has answers, or they defer
right,
you
sure.
to someone else.
And as you said in your email to me, you said now they are using the system to live rent-free. And I don't think that's what this was designed for. I mean, I understand if somebody is a hotel worker or a waiter and they've lost their job, I understand us wanting to say we don't want them to be out on the street because of something that has happened in the last 2 or 3 weeks. But for something you've been dealing with for months and you are now subject to this ban on evictions, that does seem to be horribly unfair to you as a landlord.
Yeah. She is, like I said, playing the system. She can get her low-income help, so she can get lawyers on her side, and we have no course of action to get her out. I mean, they're not even taking judgment battle right now.
Right. And so what does this mean for you? You still have to pay whatever you're paying for that property and that rental, the trailer that they are renting, right?
Yes, correct. We still have to cover the mortgage. I mean, we have to cover all the fees associated with it if we don't cover the mortgage. It's putting a strain on our family because that is part of our income.
I understand. Well, look, it's there's just a lot of casualties of unintended consequences in all of this, and if somebody has a solution, I'm sure they'll contact me and we can let you know. But it sounds like you're just caught up in what they have now implemented for COVID-19 evictions, and it sounds like you're just, as a landlord, you're stuck with this, and that's a shame because we're hurting you now. All we're doing is transferring the pain from one person to another, and you haven't done anything to deserve this.
Yeah, and we've been trying to contact people to see what to do next, but nobody has advice. It wasn't really thought out of if there is workarounds for the people that are actually going properly through the legal system.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, things like this are done because they feel good and they wanted to say we're banning evictions. And I think most people said, oh, that makes sense. But they didn't understand who and what would be caught up in this. All right, Jennifer, well, I appreciate you letting me know and us getting the word out. There's another important side effect of all of this.
Yes, thank you for contacting us.
Okay, Jennifer, who emailed me, and because of the COVID-19 eviction ban, a eviction they had already secured in court a month ago, cannot be honored, and we're seeing a lot of people caught up in the economics of this, and it's an absolute shame, and it is widespread, that's for sure. Let me know what you think about all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we do have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Major breaking news just coming in out of Great Britain. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has just ordered most stores in Great Britain to close, and he is banning gatherings for 3 weeks, at which point they're going to reevaluate. So Great Britain, most stores, presumably they're going to keep supermarkets, pharmacies open there. But Boris Johnson has just announced the closing of most stores in all of Great Britain this afternoon. Again, man, I got to ask the question, what's Jay Inslee doing? I was very supportive of him early on. And I'm not saying this because of politics. I'm just saying this because of my analysis of what's going on in the world, what is obviously going to happen here. I told you on Thursday last week that it's clear we're going to get a shelter in place, or whatever they want to call it, here in Washington State. So I don't know what we are waiting for. And now Jay Inslee says, well, he's going to do a press conference at 5:30 this afternoon. And I have a lot of listeners who are texting me, 98973, who are asking the exact same question. Nobody seems to understand why Jay Inslee is doing this, is just ripping the Band-Aid just a tiny little bit at a time. None of this makes any sense. The piecemeal approach in our state, the delays for the inevitable. Somebody on Twitter got a hold of me. We're running out of time, Governor Inslee. Our chance to save sanity and lives and spare more Washingtonians is slipping away. Your number one fan, Donald Trump, may reopen the country before we close Washington. And what the listener is talking about there is, you know, Donald Trump, he was talking earlier today, and he's very worried. You know, the Dow is down another 500-600 points today. And he said, we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. And let's face it, Donald Trump's going to be driven a lot by reelection pressures. And he doesn't want to have 20% unemployment and a stock market that has lost half its value and trillions of dollars vaporized. So the president, he's as eager as anybody to try to get the economy rolling again. But here in our state, I do not know what Jay Inslee is doing. I don't know why he is waiting. Shut it down, Jay, has become a trending hashtag. Please shelter in place, Jay. I have my parents who are autoimmune and older. My kids cannot see their grandparents because of this. Please shelter in place. Let's get control of this sooner than later, please. And then there are still a lot of people who are driven by their personal economics, and understandably so. And they do not want a broader shutdown because of what it's doing to them, to their family. But, you know, what I would say to those people is, to you, if you're one of the people who thinks that we shouldn't do anything broader, we're going to do something broader at some point. The rest of the world is doing the shelter in place. I mean, Great Britain is the latest to announce it as an entire nation, just moments ago. But it's going to happen. So why in the world wouldn't he have ordered that last week, begun what we all hope is a bit of a healing process, and if not a healing process, at the very least, to slow the slope of this curve of increase. But, you know, we've had 42,000 confirmed cases in the United States, and nearly 8,000 of those in the last 24 hours. So now we are starting to see what is looking like exponential growth. And we have to do something dramatic to deal with all of this. And so we'll find out. Jay Inslee, 5:30 this afternoon. You'll hear it live here on Cairo. But I don't know what he's waiting for. And he has already waited too long. There's no question about that. At the national level, I think everybody's glad to have Dr. Anthony Fauci, who has been a counterbalance to the president. The president has said he thinks some of these experimental drugs might do some terrific things for COVID-19. The doctor, he says, I haven't seen the scientific testing of that, but he said there is room for both attitudes and approaches.
Who is the president listening to? And do you see a concern here that those drugs could become, you know, basically oversubscribed, and there could be a shortage that could impact people who have persistent medical issues like lupus and need those?
Okay, so Margaret, there's an issue here of where we're coming from. The president has heard, as we all have heard, what I call anecdotal reports that certain drugs work. So what he was trying to do in the Express was the hope that if they might work, let's try and push their usage. I, on the other side, have said, I'm not disagreeing with the fact anecdotally they might work, but my job is to prove definitively from a scientific standpoint that they do work. So I was taking a purely medical scientific standpoint, and the president was trying to bring hope to the people. Mm-hmm. I think there's this issue of trying to separate the two of us. There isn't fundamentally a difference there. He's coming from it from a hope layperson standpoint.
Okay.
I'm coming from it from a scientific standpoint.
And I will tell you, there are some divisions that are emerging between Dr. Fauci and President Trump, because the president has said that he wants to get the economy restarted as quickly as possible. Look, we all want that. But Dr. Fauci said, you know, if you just flood the economy with $2 trillion and then lift some of the precautions like shelter in place that some people are taking, then it's not going to stop COVID-19. And I'm getting lots of text messages. A lot of people are saying, why can't we just shelter in place ourselves? We can do this without being mandated by the governor. Very true. I told you, I made that choice about a week and a half ago, because I thought this was a very serious health hazard. So, yes, we could do it. It's just that when you see thousands of people at Alki, people aren't doing it, and they're probably transmitting. Okay, big lead, 2 o'clock, coming up right after the news.